us pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, as we open up your word, we ask once again, may your Holy Spirit speak to us. May he open our eyes and our ears so that we may listen and we may do your will. We thank you so much for the privilege of gathering together this morning. We praise your name. In Jesus' name, amen. 2010. How many of you thought, I'm going to write that number down? I think the older you get, like, wow, 2010, 10 years went by already in this new millennium. And it just boggles our mind how fast time goes, doesn't it? What are you thinking of this new year? You have any special plans? Anything in particular you are thinking of doing that is different from the years past? I am thinking of doing something that I've wanted to do for many, many years, but I don't think I've quite gotten there. And maybe you find yourself in that same situation. And that is, I want to listen to God's word this year. Any decision I make, I want to listen to God telling me, this is what I want you to do. How does that happen? How do we listen to God among the noise, the busyness of life, the hecticness of life? How do we listen to God's voice? And today's scripture reading was very simple in letting us know that Jesus says that he is what? He is the shepherd. He is the shepherd. And if you have your Bibles, please open them once again to John chapter 10, because we want to look at this passage. John chapter 10 and verses 1 through 5 were read. And I'm going to read verses 6 and on, explaining a little bit more of what Jesus had to say to his disciples and what I believe he has to say to us today, we who live in the year 2010. John chapter 10, verse 6 and on. It says, this figure of speech Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what those things were which he had been saying to them. Jesus therefore said to them again, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and might have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hireling and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, beholds the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hireling and is not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me, even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Amen? Now, I don't know much about shepherds. I do know a little bit about pets. I had 5 dogs and 6 cats, all at once, too. And so you learn some things about taking care of little animals. One of them is you need to have patience. Pets tend to do their own thing once in a while. And they tend to go off on the street if they are not chained or there's no gate. And you need to go out and call them back in. So I imagine a good shepherd is somebody who is patient. A good shepherd is somebody who knows when the sheep like to eat, what they like to eat, and how they like to eat it. I can imagine the shepherd not knowing that, and all of a sudden you have 100 sheep going, bang, all at the same time. Not a good sound. Not a good sound. A good sheep knows the voice, knows its sheep. How many of them? So when one of them is missing, he knows where to go and find them. So he needs to know what? The terrain as well. He needs to know the valleys, the caves, the mountainous areas. The good shepherd is someone who is willing to do whatever to keep the sheep safe. And something that the shepherd does is he keeps his sheep together. If there's something that I've noticed in all these National Geographics and where they have all these animals, these herds of animals, as soon as one of them leaves the herd, what happens? The lion or the tiger or the leopard, whatever animal is out there to snatch him, is that animal is an easy prey. Easy prey once they leave what? The fold. Once they leave the number of other companions. And the good shepherd keeps them together. But today I want to share with you something that Jesus said about good shepherding. First of all, he says the good shepherd enters through the door. He owns the place. He has the keys. It's his house. And his sheep are living there. In this passage that we just read, Jesus says, his sheep recognize his voice. He knows them. He calls them. I remember when I was a kid and I would come home, all of a sudden the dogs would start barking a lot, really loud. And what would I do? I would stay quiet and get closer. And they would bark even louder. And I would still be quiet and get closer. It was nighttime. They couldn't see me very well. But once I said, Apache, I was one of them, or Rambo was the other name, they would stop barking because they had heard my voice. Jesus continues saying that he takes them out, all of them, and he goes ahead of them. He leads them. A good shepherd leads his sheep. The sheep trust his voice. They listen to him. They are fed. They are nurtured. And something that was very interesting in the passage we just read right now is that he is the door, and he is willing to lay down his life for his sheep. It was a common scene to see the shepherd after he had gathered all his sheep and brought them back into the pen. Sometimes the door wasn't very safe. It was kind of old. It didn't shut well. So guess where the shepherd would sleep? He would sleep right at the door. You would find them there. Kind of reminded me of camp, when the counselor had to be at the door to make sure none of the students would leave, sneak out at nighttime. The good shepherd would sleep right there at the door. He was the door, making sure nothing would enter that site that would put in danger the sheep. Well, a big commotion was made out of this. All of a sudden, people were saying, who does this guy think he is? He must have a demon. Look at him speak. Others were saying, no, no, a demon does not do the things this man has done. What had Jesus done? He had just helped a blind man. He had just healed a blind person. And he was in that situation where people were saying, who is this man? How can he do these things? With what power does he do this? For the blind man, it was no question. It was easy. He said, this man must be in connection with God. This man must know God. Look at all the good things he does. He must be very close to God. But for the others, they were still questioning him. And I asked myself, why were they questioning Jesus when he said, I am the good shepherd? What's so bad about saying that? Last week we read Psalms 23. Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd. In Isaiah 40, it also says that God will take care of his people like a shepherd takes care of his sheep. And here was Jesus saying, I am the good shepherd. There were two leaders in the people of Israel who were shepherds. One of them was Moses. Moses was a shepherd for 40 years. Who was the other great leader that was a shepherd? David was another one. Now, was Jesus claiming that he was one of them? No, Jesus was claiming that he was more than them. He was the good shepherd. Genesis chapter 1 is a story of creation. Words are repeated there. And anytime you find a word repeated in the Bible, it's important. Pay attention. It says in Genesis 1 that God spoke, and what happened? And it was done. And then it says, and God saw that it was good. In fact, that is repeated many times. And God saw that it was good. The last book of the Old Testament is not the book of Malachi, as we have it in our Bibles. And if you have a Hebrew Bible, you'll find the book of Chronicles at the end. But that's not the last book of the Bible. I had a teacher here at UCSD, and this is named Noel Friedman. He said that the last book of the Bible was Ezra Nehemiah. And he showed me something that I want to show you this morning, something interesting about Nehemiah and the last chapter of Nehemiah. If you go with me to Nehemiah, Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 31. And maybe if we begin with verse 30, it'll give it a little bit more of context. Nehemiah 13, verse 30 and 31. And he said this, thus I purified them for everything foreign and appointed duties for the priest and the Levites, each in his task. And I arranged for the supply of wood at appointed times and for the first fruits. Remember me, O my God, for good. Remember me, O my God, for goodness belongs to you. From beginning to the end, God is good. A central message in the Old Testament. God is good. Despite the things we see around us, despite the feelings we get from what happens to us, the Bible continues to say, God is good. In fact, Jesus, speaking with one of the Pharisees who came to him and said, good teacher, what did Jesus respond? Why do you call me good? Only God is good. Yes, Jesus was claiming to be more than David and Moses. He was saying, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. And the sheep listen to my voice. My sheep, they listen to my voice. Something happened that was very interesting. And if we go back to our passage of John chapter 10, it continues telling us what was going on with Jesus and the people who were still questioning, who are you? John chapter 10, And this time, verse 19. And it reads, "There arose a division again among the Jews because of these words. And many of them were saying, 'He has a demon and is insane. Why do you listen to him?' Others were saying," verse 21, "'These are not the sayings of one demon possessed. A demon cannot open the eyes of the blind, can he?' Verse 22, "At that time, the feast of the dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. The Jews therefore gathered around him and were saying to him, 'How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly.' Jesus answered them, 'I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, these bear witness of me.'" Jesus was at a special feast, the feast of the dedication, today better known as Hanukkah, or the day or the Feast of Lights. It was a feast that was instituted by Maccabeus. And it was instituted because of the reconsecration of the temple, and especially of the altar of sacrifice. It had been polluted. It had been desecrated. And now they had reconsecrated this building for the worship of God, and they would come together and feast and have a good time. But now the Jews had gathered again and asked Jesus, "Who are you? If you are the Christ, just tell us. Tell us plainly." And what did Jesus answer them? "I told you. I told you, and you did not believe. I told you. I've said this many times, but you did not listen." Verse 26, John chapter 10. "But you do not believe because you are not" what, my brothers and sisters? "You're not my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." A lot of words, concepts. But this was not the first time that Jesus, that God himself, had said, "Listen to me. Listen. I am one and the same." There are many things that change in our world. Many things. But one thing, or one person who never changes, is God. He never changes. He is the same in the past. He is the same today. He's the same always, forever. Deuteronomy chapter 6. If you have your Bibles, verse 4. Have these two same words: listen and one. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Verse 4, and I read, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one." He's the same. He has not changed. Hear, listen. In over 25 languages, the word to listen and the word obey are one and the same. There's no difference. Every time you hear the word listen in the Bible, it's the same word as obey. Shema. Listen, my people. Obey. Had God been speaking to his people? Has God been speaking to his people throughout the ages, brothers and sisters? Deuteronomy chapter 5 has the Ten Commandments said once again. Verse 31 says the following: "But as for you, stand here by me, that I may speak to you all the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which you shall teach them, that they may observe them in the land which I gave them to possess. So you shall observe to do just as the Lord your God has commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right or to the left. You shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live, and that it may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which you shall possess." God had spoken to his people in the beginning. He had spoken to his people through Moses. And now God himself had come down to the earth to speak to his people. And they would not listen. They would not follow his instructions. Is it that hard to listen? It becomes hard to listen sometimes with distractions, with noises. If there was somebody who grew up having a hard time to listen, it was myself. My mom would say, "Samuel, please tell me where you're going to be at. What friends? Call me." And I would leave my house after lunch or in the afternoon after school, and I would just forget completely that I had to call who? Mom, let her know where I'm at. But there was one thing I did notice. I could be playing the best game or reading a really neat book or just playing with my friends, and if I heard this at the door, I knew my mom's knock. And I knew I was in trouble. I knew it. I would stop right there. Go. I gotta go. We just started to play. Oh, I gotta go. And I would open that door and there was mom. Now you would think this would only happen like once a month or once every 3 months. This happened almost every day. I don't know how much patience mom had, but she just would keep knocking and asking, "Where is my son? Where is my son?" We were living in Maplewood Apartments, Beechwood Apartments, Garland, and so many apartments, and she would just go out and look for me. And every time I heard that knock, tock, tock, I knew it. I didn't call, and I'm in trouble. I did not listen. I did not obey. Is it hard to listen? Is it hard to obey? How do we know that God is speaking to us? I think that's hard. How do we know between good two things, which one is that God wants us to do? The only way you know that is if you hear him, if you know his voice, if you can recognize it from among all the other voices that are shouting at you and telling you, do this, do that. My sister was pregnant. And she was about to have her firstborn. Her name was going to be Nathania, a gift of the Lord. And I was flying from Los Angeles to Guam. My mom was flying from Portland, Oregon to Guam. And we were going to meet there. I remember getting there at 7:30 p.m. And instead of her and my brother-in-law receiving us at the airport, it was a friend and was telling us, "Your sister, Sam, is in the hospital already. She's about to give birth." So we ran to the hospital right after the airport. It was 8, and she was still there. 9, still there. 12, midnight, still there. 1 a.m., still there. 2 a.m. And if you've been on a plane for over 12 hours, it's like really, really tiresome. So after a long, long trip, still wait. Well, finally, 3 a.m., Nathania was out. She was out. We were so happy. And something interesting happened. After the days went by, I would see my sister holding her baby. And then she would, like, say, "Here, you hold her." And I would grab her. Stop it. And shaking her, and she would just cry up a storm. But every time she went back to her mother's arms, and my sister said a few words, she would quiet down. I thought, is it my smell, maybe? Can't recognize me. I know she's never seen me, and she's never seen my sister. She hasn't seen anybody. But every time I hold her, she cries, and every time my sister holds her, she doesn't. Well, I discovered that during 9 months of pregnancy, my sister Rachel would speak to Nathaniah. She would talk to her. She would pray with her. She would sing songs to her. So when Nathaniah came out, there was one voice she did recognize, one voice she felt safe about, and that was the voice of her mother. Has God been speaking to us? Do we recognize his voice? Do we want to listen and obey him? He's good. He is good. You can't go anywhere. You won't miss out on anything. He's good. He wants the best for you. He wants the best for me. He wants us to prosper. He wants what you can't even imagine in your life. And if we would listen to his voice, we would be okay. We will be okay in 2010. Amen? Now, something the passage said, and this is closing now, is that this is a parable. And Jesus spoke many times in parables. In fact, Jesus was not the only person to speak in parables. The prophets of the Old Testament spoke in parables with images of a boiling pot, of a jar of clay, of a vine or vineyard, of a stone, a rock. All images representing something important, something good, or something not so good, like invaders. But Jesus would speak in parables because he wanted his people to understand. He wanted them to know what he was talking about. And if we have anybody who went through high school math here, there's something called what? A parable. And it's a line that they teach you in physics. And how does this line go? Does it go straight? No, it goes what? It goes up, and then it comes down. And they use this a lot in military tactics. They shoot the projectile, and it just goes over a wall. In baseball and basketball, you also use it. You use parables. You throw the basket up into the air, and you're hoping it starts going down exactly into that hoop. And if you're playing baseball, boom, they hit that ball up, and you hope it's just going straight up because it's going to come straight down right into your glove. But if it goes 45 degrees, it's just going to go right over that fence, and it's a home run. Well, Jesus was talking to the disciples in parables, trying to go over all those preconceived ideas that we human beings have. All those things that we've heard from other people saying that God is not good, that God is bad, that you're getting this because you deserve it. He was trying to go all over all those concepts that make so much noise in our mind so that we could listen to his voice, so that we could know that it was he who was speaking to us. Do you want to listen to God's voice this year? I want to listen to it. I really do. And I want to obey it. It's not just listening. It's also obeying. It's the same word. When we listen, we obey because God is good. Our last hymn is hymn number 100. And I would like to invite you to stand as we sing hymn 100, and we will sing the first and the last stanza. Great is thy faithfulness.